As I was thinking about tonight's message, I really want to leave with you a little thought. And over this past week, I've been sort of pondering over it. A little theme that I want, if you want a little heading that I'm putting to it, is simply this. What are you hiding behind? What are you hiding behind? I have three readings tonight, and you'll find it hard to follow with me tonight because they're in three different portions. One in portions of Scripture, one in Genesis, a couple of verses, one in Revelation, and one in the book of Exodus. So I'll understand if you're not able to follow along with me, but I'm going to read these portions to you, and I trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word. We read His Word because His Word is truth. His Word is, there is no falseness in His Word. But in the book of Genesis, it tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, and the eyes, speaking of Adam and Eve, whenever they had eaten of the forbidden fruit, it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God calling in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And then over in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6 and verse 15, it says these words, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Now that's that same Lamb that John the Baptist spoke about in John chapter 1 and verse 29. That's that same Lamb that Kyle was singing about here. This Lamb who came to bear your sins, to be your substitute. Now here we find him now. This Lamb is the people that these people in Revelation are wanting to hide from, because the day of judgment has come and they are not ready. And they're crying onto the rocks and to the hills, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sees all things. People who tried to hide, but could never hide from God. In the book of Exodus, very simply tonight, just a couple of verses in Exodus, chapters 33 and verse 22. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee, and this was speaking to Moses, I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And we'll end our reading there this evening. We know that God will bless his precious word to our hearts. Let's just a wee word of prayer, folks, tonight in the presence of God. Father, we are so glad tonight to know that we don't need to be in a building to sense your presence with us. We don't need to be set in a format just which we're by no means disrespecting, Lord, but we thank God even here under the canvas of heavens. We thank thee, Lord, that even as we sit in our own cars, we can sense that the Lord our God is in our midst. We realize, Lord, as it was in Adam's day in the garden, they wanted to flee from your presence. Your presence was evident upon the earth in that day. And we long that even tonight for individuals to whom many of us this evening are praying for and have prayed for and have been praying for, that even tonight, dear God, such would be the presence of God in this car park, that men would indeed cry out and women would cry out unto you for mercy and would seek you for salvation. Now, Lord, we acknowledge tonight that salvation is of the Lord. We know that man cannot generate it or cause even man to think about his soul. We believe that this is solely the work of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit tonight, that you would be pleased to bless, Lord, even the preaching of your word, and be pleased to see your name exalted in the salvation of a soul or souls, even this very evening. Remember Pastor Anderson tonight as he would testify down at Larne. We pray you'll give him great liberty and make it easy for him as he just simply shares his story of how you've guided, how you've led him, and how you've met his need and directed his path. So as we long that he might know your help there, we ask for your help here. as we commit ourselves now to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Very simply this evening in life, people, different people hide behind different things for a whole lot of different reasons. But this evening our concern is not about the matters that have to deal with in time, that we would deal with in time, but far more importantly, that which dare I say, you are endeavouring to hide behind that leaves you unprepared for eternity. And for some of you, you're hiding behind different things. For example, as you make your way through life, you find that the hard man, or dare I say, there are some will hide behind a hard man exterior to hide a soft interior. A shy man or woman usually hides behind one who's more outgoing and forthright. An introvert will hide behind an extrovert. A fearful will hide behind the brave. The loser will always hide behind the winner. The hypocrite will always hide behind a false front. The proud will always hide behind false humility. That's always the case. But when you look at this, whenever you look into the scriptures, folks, you find different individuals hide behind different things. For example, we read about a man called Elisha, and he had a servant. And that servant, you really would have thought by his life that he really had very much a servant's heart, but really secretly he wanted to be wealthy and have possessions. We read about that because we find that he hides behind a life of self-sacrifice, and yet on one occasion we find that all along he's a heart that's full of wanting to be greedy and wanting more of things. The Pharisees would hide behind religion, or dare I say a form of religion of their day. That's what it was, a religious system, and yet sadly they knew nothing of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are ample people in our province this evening who hide behind religion and are extremely religious. We see it there. And in fact, you see it and you read it about whenever Elijah went up on the Mount Carmel, you find those who were that sincere and genuine in their religion. Whenever those 450 false prophets who worshipped their false prophets and were willing to slice themselves open with knives and sharp instruments that the blood would flow from them because they genuinely believed what they had was the real thing. Yet sadly they were relying on something that was false with no reality of heart. And this evening what we present to you tonight, whether as you pass by on the street or sit in your car or you listen, we are presenting to you reality. That you can have Christ, that you can know Christ, that you can hear him talking to you on a daily basis through his word. That you can have this friendship with Christ whereby that he walks beside you, not just as he walked beside you, but thank God that he lives within you. So that come what may throughout life, that you will never ever be on your own again. Because you will always have this sense of not just companionship, but this sense of one who dwells within your soul and lives within your life. We find in Luke chapter 3, you find three individuals, and they hide behind three very, dare I say, what would seem genuine, well, maybe I call them genuine excuses, I'm not sure, but they fittered away and forfeited their invitation to the feast. One said, well, I've got married, said one man. Another man said, I bought an oxen, I can't go to the feast because I want to see what the oxen's like. Well, any farmer is a brave old fool of a man, and I don't know too many farmers are foolish with their money. Usually find they keep their hands well buried in their pockets in case their money falls out, but that's just typical of a farmer. He likes to hold on to his pennies. But he's not going to waste his money on a beast if he doesn't know what the beast looks like. But this man did. One man said, I have got a wife. And then he go and spend a bit of time with her. He hadn't spent time with her before he got married. There was a bit not much hope for him whenever he got married. Another boy said, I bought a piece of land. I need to go and see what my land's like. Full of excuses. Maybe tonight that's like you. Maybe one of the reasons why what you're hiding behind is excuses. Excuses. And you can reel them off one after the other. And that's what the devil is using to hold you back from the kingdom of God. And prayers, my dear friend, I want to say to you tonight, prayers raised from this car park this evening, prayers raised from the saints within this car park, have been raising from the wee prayer room before we gathered together, and have risen for you as an individual. And be you And I'm unashamedly going to say to you tonight, if you come to Belief Baptist Church and you're unconverted, prayers are rising for you. And we unashamedly say that because we have a genuine concern for your eternal soul. Judas hid behind, dare I say, a false profession. Yet all along, Christ knew he had no possession. This was the man who got so close to Christ. This was the man that actually held the money bag. So he was the treasure of the disciples' day. They had no reason, the disciples had no reason to question Judas. But yet he was the man who got so close. And yet sadly, lost out in all of eternity. In fact, Jesus himself described himself as the door when he said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in. And he was the man, now Judas was the man who kissed the very door of heaven. That's how close he got now. He kissed the very door of heaven. And his soul went to hell. And I'm going to tell you, dear people, we have a goodly heritage. You have a goodly heritage being connected with Belief Baptist Church. Because one thing is for sure, the gospel has unashamedly always been preached. Because we believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You have a goodly heritage. The question is tonight, what are you hiding behind? Adam and Eve hid behind, dare I say, a covering that was rejected by God. A man-made covering that was rejected by God. We know it because the scripture says that when the eyes of them both were opened in Genesis chapter 3, and they knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord from amongst the trees. So here were these, this couple, Adam and Eve, which we know were our first parents. God, they've been made in the likeness of God. Adam was made and then Eve. And we find that they know what it is to walk in perfection. Something that you and I do not know what that is like. Because ever from we were born with a problem. And that problem the scripture calls very simply, it is the problem of sin. There's not one of us excluded from that problem. We all have it. But Adam and Eve, born in this world, whenever they were created, they did not know what sin was. They did not know what sin did. And they did not know where sin takes them. Until they disobeyed God. And the day that they disobeyed God, the scripture says that their eyes were opened and they saw for the very first time that they were naked. And what they did was they endeavored to make what I'm going to call a man-made covering that was rejected by God. Folks, can I say something to you? Whenever they realized that they had sinned for the very first time, there were three things. Whenever their eyes were opened, they realized three things that they had never knew before. They'd realized, number one, what sin is. Sin is a transgression against God's known law. So you say, like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, said, good master, what must I do that I might have eternal life? And he said, well, you know what the scripture says, you love your neighbor and he give all the things. He said, all these things have I kept from my youth. And Jesus didn't say, hold on a minute here, young man, you're a liar. He didn't say that to him. Because Jesus knew the heart of the young man's problem. And the heart of the young man's problem was greed and that which he held and owned. And Jesus said to the young man, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. And the scripture says the young man went away sorrowful, for great was his riches. So for him, what he was hiding behind, what was holding him back from seeking first the kingdom of God, was his wealth, was the things that he owned. His possessions were more important to him than seeking Christ. Maybe tonight as you stand in, sit in the car park, maybe your possessions are so important to you. Maybe they're far more important to you than finding the Savior. My dear friend, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible says very simply these words, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his own soul? My wife and I have been down on the North Coast for a couple of nights staying, and I am continually, absolutely flabbergasted by the grandeur, and it's not just on the North Coast, but it's very evident in the North Coast, the grandeur of some of the homes that now are being built around that whole area. And I ask myself very simply this question is, if that's all that man has got to hold on to, well, he might as well enjoy it, because come in eternity, he's going to leave it all behind. And not just is he going to leave it all behind, but he's going to realize what he banked his hopes and his dreams on in time, and what he banked his joys and pleasure on in time, in eternity, he's going to live with an eternity of regrets. You, his biggest regret, that he put things before God. What does sin do? My dear friends, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of God's known law. I'm going to say second to you that Adam and Eve realized what sin does. Sin cuts off the relationship between God and man. It builds a wall of division. That wall of division cannot be broken down with boulders or sledgehammers or bulldozers. That wall of partition will stay there, and division will stay there, because there's only one way that division can be broken down, and that is through what Christ did at the place called Calvary. And there, when he died upon that cross, when the scripture says, when the earth was covered in darkness and God the Father poured out his wrath upon God's only Son, that was whenever God was making it possible for sin to be forgiven and sinners to be accepted. And God wants to accept you, dear soul, tonight. I don't care what the old devil has thumped in your ears for years and years and years. I don't know what it is that's stopping you from taking that final step of seeking Christ and calling upon his name. But listen, my dear friend, if you will not turn from your sin, ultimately this evening, what your sin does is it separates you from God. And ultimately what it means is that the condemnation of God rests upon you. And if the condemnation of God rests upon you, that means when you die, my dear friend, when you die, you will literally open up your eyes in a place that the Bible calls a place of torments, a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we proclaim this good news of the gospel because, dear soul, we are genuinely, and we're not merely standing here telling this, genuinely we are concerned that you would get right with God. I'm going to say to you thirdly that Adam and Eve, not just did they realize that what sin was or is what sin does, but they realized primarily that they had sinned against God. And that's why they hid. That's why they hid. Do you realize that you've sinned against God? Well, you say, I do. I'm saying to you, do you not think it's time that you repent of your sin and called upon Christ? If you say, I do, I know I do. Well, what's stopping you? In the very car wherein you sit, as you bow your head and you lift your voice, say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hear now, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. And this, put away, listen, Pray that God, if God's filling, or the old devil is filling your mind with questions or reasons why you can't get saved, listen, the word of God tells me tonight that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. I'm going to say to you very quickly, because our time is marching, and I know some of you have your windows down, I don't want you to get wet, but in the book of Revelation we read about these men that cry unto God, or cry unto the mountains and to the rocks that they might fall on them. And if in Genesis we read about Adam and Eve, and they hid themselves because of their sin, in the book of Revelation you find that men will hide because of the sentence that lies before them. Because judgment has come. And God's wrath has been outpoured. William Barclay says, no one is exempt from the judgment of God. However great a governor man is, or however much power he wields, he is still subject to the judgment of God. However rich he may be, however strong, however free he may count himself, however much a slave, however insignificant, he does not and cannot escape the judgment of God. You see, every soul that has ever lived and died without ever turning from their sins and trusting Christ, I'm going to say to you, shall face the judgment of Christ. In fact, the Bible tells it shall happen at a place called the Great White Throne. That shall happen, my dear soul. And we are proclaiming this message and this good news, my dear friend, to you, because we don't want you to stand at that great white throne. Because at that great white throne, there is only one outcome, and that outcome is separation from God forever. And there's not one child of God in this place that has any desire to see you going to that, standing at that place. In fact, there's a yearning within our hearts that rise up before the Father this evening, longing and praying that God would have mercy upon your soul. You see, and there was judgment that was coming in time. We read about it in Revelation here in 6, when these kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief men, and the mighty men and the bond men, every free man, they hid themselves and they cried this word, hide ourselves from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So there's people from all walks of life. And you're in that walk of life, my dear friend. I'm in the walk of life. But there's a difference between you and me. And the difference between you and me is the fact that the grace of God has not only touched my life, but changed my life. But for you, if you're outside of Christ, God's grace has not yet touched your life and changed your life. Because, not because God's not willing to touch and change your life, because you've been unwilling to give your life, yield your life to him. But ultimately, not just is there judgment in time, but there will be judgment in eternity. In Revelation chapter 20, speaks all about it. I'm going to give you two simple wee things. So, number one, they hide from the face of Christ. It says, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Young men, old men will cry unto the hills and to the rocks to hide them from the face of Christ. Yet it will be at no avail. You see, God can hide from man, but man cannot hide from God. Wherever, my dear friend, you might go in life, wherever you might travel, you cannot flee from the presence of God. You might bury yourself deep into your work, but you cannot get away from the presence of God. But there have been those, sadly, that no longer experience the presence of God. Not a word he will have spoken, but his face you will have seen. To the rocks and to the mountains, hide us from him who sees. That will be the cry of those who on that day, sadly, are unprepared. Listen, men hide not just because of the face of Christ, but men hide because they're facing the fury of Christ. Aye, but hold on a minute now, Nigel, you're telling us tonight that he loves us and he wants us to. That's right, he does love you. And the Bible says he demonstrated his love toward you, and that while you're yet still a sinner, that Christ died for you. His mercy is to you tonight, his grace, his patience, his long suffering. Tonight, here now. But on this day, my dear friend, you die without him, you will face his fury and wrath. Now these are serious matters, dear friend. You know, there are things in life that are important, serious decisions we make. If you're going to get married, the person you're going to marry, it's a serious decision you make. If you're going to buy your first home and you go to borrow a lot of pound, it's a serious decision you're going to make. But none as serious as this one now. What you're doing with Jesus. What you're doing with Jesus. And some of you are hiding behind man-made things that are rejected by God. These men in Revelation hid because of their sentence that was going to be poured out upon them. Let me very quickly, because our time is gone, or it's nearly gone. We find him back in the book of Exodus about a man called Moses. And he wanted to see God, and God said, "But listen, Moses, nobody can see my face and live." And because of his word, Moses was content. But God says, "Listen, I'll take you and I'll put you in the cleft of a rock. And as I pass by, you'll see my hind parts, my back parts." And Moses was content with that. It says that it shall come to pass that while I pass by, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee between the cleft of a rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I'm going to say to you very simply, Moses longed to see the glory of God, but and God's glory, but God said in return, "You can't see my face and live." You see, if Adam and Eve hid because of their sin, and the men in Revelation hid because of their sentence, Moses hid because of his safety. Because this place where God was going to put him was a safe place. Now I'm going to tell you tonight, my dear friend, the rain's coming. And in some countries this is seen as a blessing from God. We sing a great old hymn, "There shall be showers of blessing." And I tell you, dear people, oh that we might know showers of blessing in this very place tonight. I'm going to say to you tonight, folks, here when God put Moses in this place, Moses was safe. Tell me, do you not want to be safe tonight? You want to go to bed tonight and put your head upon the pillow and know that you're safe in the arms of Jesus. You're safe that now, even if in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, whenever I was up in Donaghy, this wee lady rang me and says, "Nigel, will you come down?" She says, "Noel hasn't woke." I went down and went upstairs into his bedroom, and there was Noel, had gone into the presence of God, and his cold body was just lying on the bed. But he was safe. Because even though they were very simple people, they weren't flamboyant people, they lived very simple lives. There was a day in Noel's life when simply he came to Christ as a sinner and he acknowledged his sin and he turned from sin and he trusted in Christ. And you see that night that he put his head upon the pillow, and the next morning, when he opened his eyes, you know what he did? He looked into the face of Jesus because he was safe. He was safe. Dear friend, do you not want to be safe tonight? Guarantee, if you have anything valuable, and many of us have things that are valuable to us, we bolt them up with lock and key, because whenever we're not around, we want to be sure that when we go back, that they're still there and they're safe. You leave your house tonight and you turn the key in the lock to make sure that your house is safe. Before you go into the house tonight, you get out of your car. You're going to, most likely for the majority of us, if not all of us, we're going to hit a wee button on the key of our car and we're going to lock our car away because we want it to be safe till the morning. But what we're speaking about tonight now is not about things that are temporal. We're talking about your soul, and that is eternal. We want you to be safe for eternity. Safe for eternity. I'm going to say something to you. Three simple wee things. What is it about this place? This appointed place. Number one, it was a safe place. God said, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. It reminds me that it was a rock that he stood upon. It was a rock that he hid in. The psalmist reminds us, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In fact, many of us, we remember whenever Jesus himself came in the Gospels and he said these words, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he was simply speaking about he himself being that rock. In fact, the psalmist would say, he says, he hath lifted me out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. So he's given me a safe place to stand upon. Right? That's the joy of being in Christ tonight. That you will have a... No matter what happens, my dear friend. I don't know how better I can explain this. I'm not a grand man with words. I only say this. Listen, I don't have any flamboyant language to try and tease this thing out any better. It's like whenever God said to Noah, build an ark, and then he told Noah, come into the ark. And remember, he was a preacher of riches for 120 years. This man, Noah, he realized that inside the ark, people were safe. Outside the ark, people were unsafe. If you're in Christ tonight, and if you will only seek Christ this evening, you will be in the most safest place that you will ever be. Ever be. And ever can be. I'm going to say to you, not just was a safe place, but it was a sheltered place. It doesn't mean, my dear friends, that in life you will not have problems and difficulties and trials. Listen, if you come out in a day or two visiting with us, we will take you around some of our people that have had some difficulties and trials in their lives. But it hasn't changed the fact that all is well with their soul. It says, I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. You see, God is a devouring, the Bible says in Exodus that God is a devouring fire. He's a God of consuming fire. He is, there's nothing unholy. There's nothing ungodly. There's nothing unchristlike in him. In fact, the Bible says where God is concerned, nothing that defileth shall ever enter into the kingdom of God. My dear friend, that's why this evening you need him who is safe, and that's why you need a sheltered place, because without him you are unholy. Without him you are sinful. Without him you are defiled. Without him you are condemned. But the moment you come to him, the Bible says that not just are we adopted into the beloved, but we are justified, and there is reconciliation with God, that we are reconciled with God. But listen, not only that, but the Bible says that our names are recorded in the book of life. So when that day comes, praise his name. You are ready. You are ready. I'm going to say to you, not just was it a safe place for Moses, was a sheltered place, but I'm going to say to you, it was a satisfied place. He says, thou shalt see my hind parts, or my back parts. See, for when Moses did as God requested, he was satisfied with what he saw. And my dear friend, if you do what God requests of you tonight, I'm going to say this now to you tonight, if you do what God asks of you this evening, you will never find God a disappointment. You will not find salvation a disappointment. And I'm going to say this to you. When that day comes, when God either comes or calls, you will not find heaven a disappointment. Because whatever you can imagine in your mind what heaven is like, I can assure you that this book tells me it'll be 1,000 times better. You know why? Because Christ will be there. And I will be with him. Now, tell me tonight, what are you hiding behind that has stopped you from coming to Christ? If it's lies from the devil, it is lies for a purpose. Lies are spoken to deceive. And that's exactly what the devil is. He is the prince of deceivers. And he wants to deceive you, but most of all your soul, to an eternity in hell. Why not seek him tonight? Why not call upon his name this very evening now, that you would be ready to meet God?